The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Today is the 28th of December, 2017. We're almost out of this year, and I can't wait to hit next year. So, as I always do, stand up, sit down. I've heard both versions. In through your nose, out through your mouth. I am a winner. I am a champion. We are going to be getting into this stuff so much more in 2018, but we are and we have been getting into it for the last probably 8 to 10 weeks. I have made major strides in a lot of things I am accomplishing at presently, and I got a lot of news to tell you because this stuff works, and it's far better to speak to yourself in that tone than the ones most people do. And we're going to get into more and more, believe me. Also, too, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. And as I said, Winner's Circle now has been changed to Winners and Champions, Inc., as in capital I-N-C. Why? Because I am with that formula now totally of the way we speak around here and the one another. And that product now is up to 14 modules. I'm getting ready to put the 15th one together. And a little film this time. I'm not going to release a lot of it because it's part of that package. And it's going to be very interesting what I'm doing. And I'm doing massive stuff right now. And I hope next spring we're going to have a lot of stuff out because there's a ton of stuff on the board. And we're going to talk more and more about this down the road, obviously. Also, too, contributions. Big. Everybody runs a contribution page, and I feel that this show has helped so many people, and we have gotten contributions from a lot of people. I always thank every one of you. It's much appreciated, but it's a lot to run this whole organization. I'm outside, obviously, gathering work, and I'm looking for more, obviously, in 2018, because what we want to do with this radio station is not only make it go national, but I got our good pal Charlie Oliphant coming on here momentarily. If you heard the show I did with his son Lawrence, this is what we are planning on. We really want to promote the kids. They're coming up. And, you know, Ken Nowicki and I talked about this with his new gym yesterday. You know, there's a lot of young men and young girls, and I mean very young, that don't have the structure a lot of us have and had, okay? And I just think it's so important to not only pass on but help people. The ones that really want to help. I can't force anybody, but we're even looking next year. We've already talked about this. Different gyms we're going to reach out with, and we're going to be doing some stuff where I've gotten yes from everybody, where if a young man or young woman come in there and really need help, you don't know what they're facing, there hasn't been one person that said no to me about this. So this is going to be another program we're going to be running here. And, you know, the Natural Stones I'm seeing, I think they're even going to be in the Arnold. I want to take credit for that one, because we've been pushing Natural Stones here for over 3 years. And I was told by somebody, they probably listened to your show and heard it. I don't know. And if it's helping something, good. But I'm very proud of that. And not only that, you know my feeling with, obviously, the Husafell, the Inver, the Denny's. You know, now I find out about Shank Stones, and our buddy here has lifted them. There's a lot of stuff out there. And Ryan Stewart, who went over to the Gathering and lifted the Denny's this year, he's all over North America looking for famous stones in North America. And It's very interesting, and when we have him back on, I'm sure he's going to have more information because, you know, we love guys like Charlie to come over here. You know, we found some stones. Let's go have some fun with him, you know. So we're doing everything we can to promote everything with strength here, and that's my mission in life among many things, and you're going to see quite a bit of changes next year. And I do believe you're going to really enjoy where we're going with the show. Go out to motivationmuscle.com /category/podcast. Just look at all the shows I've done with Charlie. This show with Charlie will be up tomorrow. Also, too, sign up for our free newsletter. That's right on the homepage. I haven't been doing them lately, but after the first year, we'll try to get at least one out a week or every 2 weeks. And I want to thank strongman Douglas Graham, who works with me on all this stuff. We've been doing some great stuff, and we're going to keep going, going, going. So that's another big thing. Don't forget about our YouTube channel. That's all out there. Just lots of good stuff. And as I said, Charlie Oliphant is on with us, and I'm going to give you a little information on this gentleman. Number one, stone lifter, farmer, and he's a Highland Games competitor. And, you know, if you've been out looking at the Ard Blair stones, what was going on with all that, and the young kids with it, plus all the stone lifters themselves. One thing I like about Charlie, and Charlie's got a very nice manner about him, I guess I would say. Very easy to deal with when he speaks here. He's got a lot of passion, but he doesn't have to shout it out or anything like that. He gets his point across, and I like that kind of stuff because there's so many people, and we've got so many kids listening now. Charlie has got very good verbiage like that, and we need people that people can understand and not be intimidated by things. That's all everybody talks about these days. Well, we deliver like that, and we're very happy to have Charlie with us. And before I bring him in, we're going to talk about dynamic training, and it's going to be pretty good what we're going to get into, and we're going to find out quite a bit about that. But, Charlie, welcome back, brother. It's always an honor to have you on, and I'm very glad that you're one of the guys that are coming on near the end of the year before we get started in 2018.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for having me on, Eric. It's obviously very flattering to be on it. It's flattering to be on the show at any time, but certainly at this time of year, just as you say, moving into 2018 is a very special time, particularly in the world of strength. And I don't know about you, but the world's strongest man's been the heats are on at the moment, and everybody's thinking about getting fit after the Christmas meals. I think in terms of usually this time of year is kind of it's almost like a rebirth of strength and enthusiasm. So yeah, it's a good time to be on. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. And I was telling Charlie before we came on, it's 21 below here. And I did a pod today on that. I said, what's in the air? And, you know, it was just this typical don't do it. You know, you'll get this, you'll get that. Why do you want to go out? Well, as I described in the notes, it was the bluest sky I've seen in I can't tell you how long. The sun was out ripping. I said, what feels better than hearing like the snow beneath your feet creaking pretty much, okay? Because it was so cold. And I just tell people, you know, don't be foolish with things, but go out and enjoy yourself. I mean, you know, get a little cold. It's not going to hurt you. But it's a different way a lot of people do things now, and I don't buy into it. And I enjoyed the living hell out of my workout today, believe me. But Charlie, this is going to be a killer show. I'm just going to break it down a little bit for you, and I'm going to give it right back. Charlie's had one hell of a year with stones, man, and I'm going to let him obviously catch everybody up on what he's been doing this year. And obviously, Andrew Carney helped him. He had some areas he felt he had to work on. So he had to change his training with the weights a lot, too. And we got into this before he came on here with the stuff I'm doing. a lot of people are not that disciplined to do things like that. You know, it's that, well, I can't change now. Well, if you can't change now, you're not going to get what you want to get, all right? Maybe you get them off the ground a little bit or whatever you're doing, but you're not going to succeed because you have to be honest enough with yourself to know, I've got some things I need to fix, and it's going to take some time, so I better get on the horse and get riding right now. Now, Charlie, because of how good and how great he's had this year with Stones, is training two people to lift the Dinnies. And Charlie's seeing things now. Charlie's used to train them by himself, like myself. So right then, you know, there's going to be a rub a little bit. So, Charlie, I'm going to let you start right up with, you know, I want you to catch people up. Let's brag a little bit about what a year you've had with Stones and training, and then let's get into it. I want to know, were you asked or why did you get into this with two people? And tell us the pros and cons. I mean, and the cons aren't bad anyways, I'm sure. But let's catch everybody up first. What did you do this year, Stone-wise, that we're going to get everybody's ear right to the speaker, so to speak?
Well, Larry, I've had several sort of Stone tours, yep. If you like. And the first one was it was with Andrew Kenny, who obviously you mentioned before, Neil Elliott, and there was Stephen. There's a whole bunch of people who I was with. And it was kind of the first sort of time that I've been introduced to the Stones. And yeah, some of them are lifted. I mean, they weren't comfortable lifts and everything, but nevertheless, that whole experience, and particularly a failed attempt with the Dinnies, yep. It kind of motivated me to get training and everything. And then, so to cut a long story short, I basically followed Andrew Kenny's training program he recommended. And I stuck with it fairly religiously, you know. Mm-hmm. I was very disciplined about it. I've got a lot of respect for Andrew Kenny. So I knew that if I followed what he suggested, that I would have to succeed. And yep. I had that confidence and belief. I was only, if I missed sessions or did anything, it would be entirely on me because everybody around me was being supportive and helpful, and I didn't want to let anybody down as well.
Sure.
So anyway, so I was committed to that, and sure enough, it paid dividends, and I fairly comfortable. I shouldered the Inver, and I lifted the Dinnies, and well, I lifted a whole bunch of other stones around the place too. Yes, the Saddle and Mare, and I the Mingus. There was a whole load of them anyway, and it was like chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
And so from that experience. I've got to know a few people, and a few people locally have perhaps noticed that they've know that I've lifted the Dinnies, and the Dinnies are quite well known, and a few of the other stones, and they sort of approached me with an interest in them. So I went on a little tour. There was a gathering of, not the gathering, but there was a group of people lifting the Dinnies a few months ago, and I took some friends with me to sort of show them what it was all about. I hadn't booked in for the Dinnies. It was more or less so they could get their hands on them and see them and get a feel for the Inver stone, which is in the area, and visit Brett Nickel and have a lift his stones too, so they could get a sort of feel.
Yep.
And I think the experience of them being at the Dinnies and seeing other people lift them, and not everybody lifted them, but and the whole certificates and the photographs and then the camaraderie amongst lifters, they just became hooked.
Yeah.
It was something they really wanted to do. So then it went from the stage of how do we do this practically? Because as we've already discussed, I train on my own.
Right.
I drive for maybe, I don't know, half an hour to a farm shed that I've got. And it's well maintained. I know where everything is. But it's kind of impractical with the distances involved. And one of these guys who's keen to be trained is a wrestler.
Yep.
And so there's a sort of a wrestling gym in my local town. And he's got a power rack in there and cast iron weights and enough weight to make it worthwhile. So it's really convenient because it's about a 10-minute drive.
Okay.
And it's kind of in the area. So I suddenly found myself then being in somebody else's gym, really, and with all their equipment, and creating a group chat on Facebook to then synchronize when we could all train. And we want to do it at least twice a week, intensively. So here I am, this new situation where there's myself and yep. three other people, and sometimes it's a bit hit and miss if people can make it or not. And it's just an interesting dynamic, and the the whole inter sort of personal
encouragement
enthusiasm. And it's quite unlike what I'm used to.
Yep.
And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, because there's obviously huge positives, because training with other people motivates you.
Yep.
And if you're there with the right people and they're all enthusiastic, and they are. I mean, when they're training with me and we're all there together, they're giving it 100%, which is marvelous.
Yep.
But then, of course, there's the flip side where you might miss sessions because people can't make it, and you might be at the mercy of somebody who's got the keys to the place.
Yep.
So it's been a real... It's been a really interesting change.
Yeah.
In training.
Yeah.
Even training on mats on the floor and the equipment and the way it's set up and everything. And I wouldn't say I've got OCD, but certainly in the gym that I drive to, it is meticulous and everything's in the right place. And,
yeah.
But honestly, I'd be freaking out if somebody was in there and they moved a plate from one plate. It's totally unreasonable.
Yeah.
But I would be on edge.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have the carefree experience of being in somebody else's gym, but then you're slightly at everybody else's mercy at the same time.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you know, the thing that's real interesting too is, I'm looking at it from my perspective, being that you've done all these famous stones, especially this has been a banner year for you. And now you're in a little bit different situation. You're let's face it, you're the guy. You're teaching, you're there with them, but you know what's interesting where I see it too is, if you step back a little bit, you can kind of look through the window and see. I don't want to speak for you, and I'll ask you the question. I would be looking, if I was you, I would be thinking to myself, well, you know what, this was me maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Do you ever step back and look at these guys and think to yourself, was that me back then?
Well, I mean, yeah, I do. I mean, I was pretty disciplined.
Yeah.
What it took for that discipline to kick in was really, I was more or less relying on my physical aspect of the farm and what I do in terms of manual labor and the physicality from that.
Yeah.
And I was pretty much just depending on that to get me through everything. And it wasn't, I didn't really feel it was enough. And that became most obvious at the Dinnies, because the stones I could kind of get away with to a bit, as we talked about earlier. My upper back was maybe needed a bit of work, and Andy was great at rectifying that.
Yep.
But I do see, when you say, do I look at them and see me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do. And you know what? That makes it, it's nice revisiting that place again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can kind of see, I can draw parallels with how I felt at the time and my determination and my want and desire to get these Dinnies lifted and get the certificate.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing it in them.
Yeah.
And if you like, it's kind of slightly rekindled the fire a little bit. And
well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it would obviously be a huge buzz to lift the Dinnies again with them.
Yeah.
And then sort of pass the baton on, you know.
I agree. Yeah.
They've done it as well. And, yeah, I mean, and if they do it, which I'm sure they will, you know, that'll be two or three, that'll be four of us pretty much in the same town.
Yeah,
which is pretty unheard of.
Right, and you know what the thing that's really admirable about that is this, it's like, I mean, that's, you already said it, it's lighting a fire in you again, and, you know, all of us at times, we get a little bored or tired of some of the stuff we're doing, and then suddenly, you know, now you're the educator, and you're educating 2 to 3 other gentlemen with that. And the nice thing is, you and I were talking about this before we came on, especially like Lawrence and the kids that are involved with their fathers here that lift, and, you know, we're going to do much more of that in 18, is you're giving, you know, I know he's your son, but I've seen you at these things too on film. This to me is one of the most important things that we do. And I know not everybody does it, but to give back to people and let them go after their dreams, not necessarily towing them around, because I know you're not like that and I'm not like that, but you're giving them enough. You're giving them the ability to learn from you. And the biggest thing, because you talked about this in the beginning and I was telling you about with the rack, developing that confidence to know whatever you're under or over, you have no intention of not getting that lift, okay? Let me tell you, Charlie, you know from what you've done this year and what I do and a lot of other people, if you don't have confidence and you don't believe in yourself, you can forget the hard work and every other damn thing they'll tell you you got to do. The primary thing is, yeah, you have to train, you have to learn and be very diligent and disciplined in what you do. But you could train the hell out of me. If I don't believe in myself, that stuff's not coming up. And I think what you're doing, obviously, you've already said to me that, you know, sometimes you can't shut these guys down. They want to, you know, I know that feeling. You want to do more or this, that, and the other thing. And you know damn well there comes a point where, okay, that's enough right now. We're going to pick up again, or maybe we've got to do something different in the weight world. But, you know, tell everybody, I mean, you know, I think you're in a great place. I mean, little bit of change, obviously. You're not where you usually are. But I also think when you get pulled out of your environment, it really shows what you are, as you know when you went to lift the Inver and the Denny's. You weren't in your barn lifting anymore, all right? You had left that. You had done all the preliminary work prior to doing this. There was nothing else you could do. You had to either go lift it or not. So tell everybody, I mean, comfort zone, good to get out. You're with some very enthusiastic guys. We know that maybe if they don't show up, that kind of maybe puts a little bit of a dent in you that night. But all in all, tell me, do you feel this is going to even make you a better lifter? Do you feel confident that, hey, you know, these guys now got me turned on even more to stuff. We're going to go back and do the Denny's, the four of us together. So explain, you know, anything you want to add to that. Go ahead.
Well, I suppose you got to be careful for a start because there's other people there.
Yeah.
And there's a danger of perhaps letting your ego get in the way of technique or something.
Yep.
Because there's a certain expectation that for you to lift a certain amount of weight or to do a certain amount of reps or something, and you can't hide.
Yeah.
You know, they're all standing around watching.
Absolutely. Yep.
So,
yep.
I think that's quite good in a way.
Yeah.
But the person who keeps their head on their shoulders and maintains proper form and doesn't, you know, maybe not holds back, because obviously you need to train hard, but you need to be sensible as well. And I think that perhaps if people aren't used to the training, they might be inclined to sort of maybe cheat a bit and swing the back if they're doing curls You know, to cheat stuff you know, maybe not have the bar like low enough on the shoulders, or maybe they haven't got the mobility to hold the bar in a sort of comfortable fashion because it's a new discipline or something.
Yeah.
So there is a thing about getting the technique down. There's also the impatience of, we're going to lift the Denny's sometime next year. We want to do this.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes as much discipline to ease off the weight and get that technique right as it does to get the weight shifted in the first place.
Yeah.
But they're a good bunch, definitely, and I enjoy training with them. When we all the four of us managed to get there together, it's always great. And
yeah.
Another thing as well is that I found that with the training, with the more people, then there's a sort of a natural stage when it's your go.
Yeah.
Because we'll sort of find an order of who's going in what order, and it's usually just an organic thing, it just seems to happen naturally. And you know then you've got that break, where sometimes I find if I'm training on my own, where I have been, and I've done some heavy sets, you think, how long should I give myself? You're looking at a clock and you're thinking, oh, do I feel, should I go now or should I wait for another minute, or, you know, am I strong enough? Whereas if you're with the four people, it's pretty much preordained when you're going to go.
You go.
It actually takes the thinking out of it.
Yeah.
Because you've got to get on with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a big positive.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the thing. I mean, you get a rhythm going, you guys are unstoppable then. You know that? And you know what? One thing that's good when you got the right group with you, I mean, you guys are all feeding each other this energy that is so electric. It's like, even when you feel you can't do one more, you'll do it. Because, you know, let's face it, we all like competition and everything. Nobody wants to let anybody down. We don't want anybody to go over the edge where they could get hurt. But, you know, I think human beings, if they really think about it, I mean, we have so many vast amounts of not only mental energy and spiritual energy and physical energy we never touch. when you're in a situation with people that are going after the same goal, I do think that is one of the most spectacular things you'll ever deal with because, you know, I mean, you've trained alone. I train alone. Do I enjoy it? Yeah, and there's a lot of pluses of training alone, but here's the big thing. You got to be really a special mentality to train alone, in my opinion. You know, today, how many people will go out in 21 below and lift? Not a lot, I don't think. I don't care. You know, I had a heater on, but it was running at 45 degrees all the time. It was not warm in there by any means, but it took the edge off where I wouldn't hurt myself, all right? So it has its pluses and minuses, and I think you're in a dynamite situation regardless because, you know, you don't know what this is going to do for you when you step into whatever you're going to get into next year besides the Denny's. And I think it's a win-win all the way around. I'll have you comment on that momentarily. But the thing I want to ask you, especially now, I assume these gentlemen are all experienced lifters. And what are you doing with the weights? But, you know, go back. Answer if there's anything you want to add to what I said, be my guest. But the next question is going to be, what are you doing now in conjunction with the stones, and we'll go through that if you don't mind.
Well, absolutely. Well, to go jump back to before answer this question, it was something I was thinking of, was that with the evolution, with the training program, which is pretty much Andrew Kearney's training program, it's the one that is pretty much mimicking what he did within what we have available to us in this gym that I'm training in.
Okay.
Is that one of the things I'm really looking forward to is drop sets.
Yep.
Because when you're on your own, and if you're lifting, if you're deadlifting or doing lat pulls or whatever it happens to be, then you don't have the luxury of people yanking off weights or, you know, spontaneously. You have to kind of pause and pull these things off the ends. And whereas with a whole group of people there, there's going to be, it's going to be great because we'll also sort of pull, you know, lift to exhaustion, then have the people whip the plates off either side, but you know, with no gaps.
Yeah.
And that was something that I couldn't really do on my own. I'd have to sort of, well, it just took longer time to do it, but I think that the whole interaction and putting plates on quickly and off quickly while you're still set up and ready to go is going to be a huge plus.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I have to be careful what I say here, but perhaps two are experienced lifters.
Yep.
Well, one of them in particular has been more into sort of rapid weight loss.
Okay.
There's been a lot of cardio, you know, this whole concept of training, at sort of mid range reps to sort of slower reps, heavier weight is a concept I don't think this one of the gentlemen's used to. So that's something I'm like, the form is something to be really kind of aware of there. And then one of the other gentlemen there's a few sort of mobility issues with squats and getting the bar held behind the neck, because it's just not something that's has ever been on the radar as far as exercises go, because you'll know yourself a squat is a fairly crucial,
very.
It's a serious compound. It's one of the best movements you can do, so it's definitely worth getting it right.
Yeah.
And then the other one is a wrestler, and he's got a good technique and good form, and he's been pretty good at gauging his weights from session to session, so not overdoing it and not underdoing it, and just pretty much he's pretty effective, I'd say. It's not, so I wouldn't say that it's a whole, you know, it's not an eclectic group of highly experienced lifters by any means, no.
Yeah, but you know what the good thing is, Charlie, you can only do so much, obviously, for them, but when you got people that are hungry, you and I both know that you can get somewhere with it. But yeah, I mean, someone that's not really good with the squat right away can pose a daunting problem, and that's just being nice about it. You and I both know if you don't have a squat under you and a decent one, you might have a little bit of trouble with stones, among many things. And that's the thing, you know, it's very interesting about all this stuff too, because I'm sure you've heard it. I've heard it plenty. You know, I love to hear people just say, Oh, you're only lifting a stone, a rock. I'm saying to myself, you ought to retract that real quick because I've got like a 30-pound stone sitting on the ground you probably couldn't even lift. All right, so, but I don't care. I don't go there. You know, it doesn't matter because I know that people don't really understand a lot of it, and I, you know, you and I and other people. I'd rather just give you a little education on it. Maybe it'll inspire you to maybe go out and learn some sandbags and hit a rock. I don't know. But that's kind of like the humor of the whole thing where, you know, you hear things like that. Like, you know, I've told you before, it was recently again. You know, I ran into some people I knew. Oh, you're still lifting? I was like, yeah. I'm like, I mean, what a asinine friggin' statement to make. You know what I mean? I really just wanted to grab him by the throat, but I was like, I'm like, oh boy. You know, and it's like, I don't even bother anymore unless they ask the other questions or whatever, because it's like, I don't feel I gotta justify any of that stuff, man. I never lifted to lift. I lifted because I wanted to lift for my life, to be in good shape, to, you know, get bigger, to get stronger, to learn more, to, if I wanted to compete, fine. If I just wanted to be the strongest guy walking on the street, period, you know? And that's what I always admired about lifting and all that stuff because, you know, obviously some people, you know, are obviously going to be bigger and stronger than other people. That's just a fact of life, all right? But one thing I've always said is there's no reason why you can't be the best you can be out there. And I think what a lot of people do is they put too much emphasis, you know, like, okay, how many people are going to be like Half Thor or Brian? You know, I mean, you're talking 6'8", 400-plus people. I mean, that's a freak. And I'll tell you, I'm going to be anxious to see. I haven't heard much about WSM this year. But I think last year, if I remember, the field, these guys weren't like all 6'6" guys and stuff. It looked like it might have been a shorter field as far as height and stuff. But I don't know where it's going to go. And I haven't looked. Do you know, I know that we were talking about, do you know, is Zvikas in WSM this year or not? Do you know?
I should know this. I'm actually going to meet him. I'm going to meet Zdrunas next
year. No kidding, man. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm quite looking forward to that. I know that's that hasn't really answered your question.
No, that's okay. I don't know.
I'll have to think about this.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see the field, so I don't know.
Sorry, Eric.
No, I didn't go out and hear anything. You know, I knew what was going on, but yeah. I didn't see the field of competitors, so I have no idea. That's why I asked.
I know that Zdrunas definitely won the Masters.
Yeah.
He won that. I mean, I watched that on the TV.
Yep.
And, but I've been watching the various heats, and I haven't seen Zdrunas in the heat yet,
okay.
So I'm not actually sure. I know some of the people who are in it, I'm going to go. There'll be a lot of people screaming at their iPads and the radio. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say, yeah, he probably is. And
I hope so.
I want to be really, really clever and show off. I'd go on the computer now and start clicking like crazy and answer that.
Well, you know what it is. I want to go out and look now when we get done. I mean, I wondered if Eddie Hall came back because they said they didn't think he was going to compete again. And I'm sure Half Thor's there and Brian, of course. And
do you know who won it, Eric?
No, I don't.
I'm not sure. I mean, I know who won it. I mean, it's the worst kept secret. I better not save in case somebody gets upset.
Oh, really? You know,
it's the worst kept secret in Strongman. I think it was May when they actually did it.
Oh, okay. All right.
So yeah, some of those names.
Okay.
You mentioned you weren't sure of. Well, Brian Shaw was in it, and Eddie Hall's in it,
yep.
And Half Thor's in it.
Yep.
Martin Lissis, I think.
Yep.
That's just from the heats and stuff that's been
okay.
On so far.
Yeah, because Martin's been on here too. He's been on the show.
Oh, has he?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That'd be quite a fascinating conversation.
Yep. Yeah, it's out there because Ode Hagen's on, you know, comes on. I haven't had him on in about 8 months, but you know, he trains he trains Martin, and I don't know if he still goes to Ode's gym, but I would assume. And that's how we made a contact. And Martin, man, that guy was a great guy. I mean, I talked to him on the phone a number of times before he came on. You know, to get a competitor at that level, it was a great show. The next question, obviously, we're talking about marrying the weights up with the stones and all that. What do you got them doing? If you want to say it, I don't know if you want or not. What do you, even if it's a general thing, what do you got them working on, after looking at the four of them, obviously? Are they're following, I assume, somewhat of the same thing you did to get ready via Andrew. So what do you got them doing kind of right now,
well,
Charlie?
There's, crikey, what we're doing. There's a lot of, trap bar.
Yep.
Deadlifts.
Yep.
A lot of conventional deadlifts.
Yep.
A lot of sumo, deadlifts.
Yep.
I've been, there's a lot of squats. I've been trying to teach them specifically wide stance squats.
Yep.
I think that's just a bit full on at the moment. So a lot of them are doing conventional sort of squats. But, and maybe the bar's a little bit high up on the shoulders.
Yeah, yeah. And, yep. More of an Olympic.
And another thing that, which has happened is because to, compensate for them kind of not being as wide as perhaps I would like. But I mean, they must do their own thing because I've got to draw a balance between them drawing themselves and how they feel comfortable with me throwing my weight around and annoying everybody and you know, taking all the fun out of it.
Yeah.
So I can't, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's supposed to be fun.
Hey,
and
hey,
as long as progression's been made, that's
right.
The main thing.
Well, hey, Charlie, you know, we used to always laugh when we were kids. Your mom and dad, there's always going to be the good guy and the bad guy. They play that deal, you know, and my mother was always like the good guy, you know, he'd go and my dad was, you know, disciplined and, you know, he'd be the guy that'd be staring you down if something was going bad, you know, so, you need people like that. You got to have somebody squaring them off and letting them know that they've got to answer to somebody, you know, people understand just because you're not 7 years old anymore and now you're 30 or 25 or 35. Let me tell you something. You know, you're giving them your time too, and time is valuable. And you know what? If they've got to step up and they're not, well, you got to be the guy that reminds them. And you know, not everybody likes that and they don't like criticism, but you know what? You and I both know you didn't get to where you got this year by, you know, not doing what you were told, and I'm sure you were held to task plenty. Because, you know, I've been watching, as I told you before we came on, almost every day, every other day, I've been watching, you know, the DVD of Steve Jack in Iceland and everything that led up to it. And I've had people say to me, well, it took him three times to get around the sheep pen. And I said to him, I said, could you have done it? Well, I don't know. Well, how do you put a guy down like that? And you know what I think is even so remarkable about that? Because the way I've been just watching it, you still got to be a strong-ass dude to lift that Husafell stone three times. I don't care what anybody says. All right? Three times. And he made it back. And they're like, well, you know, it's not full Sturker. I was like, See, Charlie, this is my whole thing. How do you say something negative about that? I, you know, and that's coming from people, you know, I've even met around here. We've talked about it and they've watched it here. Well, you know, I was like, you know something? Do you know what it took just to train for that? To have the guts to get on Iceland air and go there and do that? I don't get it. With a lot of people, and I'm like, I like Steve, and as I said, he's been on the show, and he's a class act, let me tell you. And I have more admiration for him now, you know, just renewing watching that DVD than I've ever had for him. Just absolutely incredible. And I don't know, I love strength so much and enjoy it no matter what it is. Especially when it's done honestly, like the way you guys do it, and Steve Jack, how can you even criticize somebody like that, or not enjoy that and be part of it. You know, I think about this, and I'll get right to you. You know, I've been Husafell twice now, and I remember when we went on the 2008 tour with Bill Crawford. You know, I don't know about you, but when I got there and we walked up to the pen, and obviously the stone lays wherever the last person dropped it, I was saying to myself, I can't believe I'm here. I watched this DVD because I wore the first one out. Probably watched the DVD before I came there at least 50 times, maybe more. And the utter shock of just being there is incredible. To walk around there and say, you know, I sat on my couch in the living room and I watched this thing. Oh, I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's a feeling that I tell people, whether you're a stone lifter or not, and, you know, you listen to the show or you see video of different people, whether it's in Scotland or Iceland or, you know, in Ireland or Wales or anywhere like that, you still ought to go on the voyage, man, and check these marvels out. I mean, they've been around for who knows how long. I mean, I would say, I think the Penn and Husafell has been around for probably about 260 years, man. I mean, it's just, that's what I enjoy, I think, about all this the most, is it's got such history attached to it. Well, and I know some of it's probably folklore, but I love all that stuff because that's the stuff that hits you right in the heart, man. And it's the stuff that you'll take with you till your end days here. So take, I'm waxing nostalgia now, but you know what I'm saying? It's, take it away, Charlie.
Yeah, well, it's quite interesting. I mean, yeah, it's, the history of these things, obviously the fact that somebody else has touched it or held it or whatever, and they're looking around and seeing the similar views to you for hundreds of years ago is, it's quite a humbling thought. And it's quite nice to obviously have that shared experience with perhaps people who are long gone, who you, held it with in great admiration. And, you know, and so, yeah, I totally get that. But then you were talking about a point where somebody was maybe being critical about having only, somebody made the comment about going around taking three attempts to do it or something.
Exactly.
Well, it's interesting because, you do get, like, I sometimes I don't think people really kind of know that they're being negative sometimes. Like, it's a very, very common thing if there's a film footage of me lifting something heavy or indeed I've filmed somebody else lifting something heavy. It's quite surprising how often you get the, oh, watch out for your back.
Yeah.
And it's really common.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And, I mean, it's a question whether it's actually helpful because, you know, if you've been training properly and you're actually making your back stronger.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's preposterous to, I mean, they've always, the person who's done this has obviously got a strong back because they've done it and they've trained it. And, it's just comments like that aren't particularly helpful. And I think that, there's sort of two ways of looking at this. It's not helpful in some ways, and you really want to surround yourself with positive people.
Sure.
You've got an unfailing belief in what you can do. And that unfailing belief, it rubs off on you, and you believe that you can do anything.
Yep.
And the people around you genuinely believe that, and there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to do these things. Then, I mean, it's, you've kind of already sort of won the battle because you've got all these people, they've got your back, you know?
Yep.
On the other hand, Eric,
yeah,
you do get people who are perhaps a little bit negative or say, oh, you'll never do this, you'll never manage that. But that can actually fuel people to prove other people wrong.
Yep.
So in a sense, it doesn't really matter. You know, I think it's nice, you know, if people are going to say positive things and supportive of you. It's really great. But if people are making sort of negative remarks or critical remarks, you know, that can sometimes be that can motivate you as well, you know. So if they're trying to annoy you or put you down, sometimes it can have the opposite effect.
No, I agree with you. And not only that, you know, something I found, Charlie, and you know, as being a businessman and all that, you've got to learn to listen to that voice inside of you. Because you can take all the advice from people, and there are people that definitely mean well. But when it comes to the end of the day, you're going to be the one that's going to come up with what's best for you, I believe. I mean, that's happened to me a number of times personally, you know, in the last 4 years especially. And it's the same way with training. You know, if I listened to the weather and everybody today, I wouldn't have gone out of the house. I don't think on those lines. And like I said in the beginning of this show and the last one, I'm not telling you to take ridiculous chances that could hurt you, let alone maybe kill you. But what I am saying is don't be afraid to go out and take a little bit of risk. We're taught now everywhere, especially kids, even when we were young, you know, be safe, be this, be that. Yep, it's good. But no one ever said to me, like, well, why don't you go out and just take the risk on it, see what happens, you know, enjoy it. You know, there was talk like that. I don't want to make it sound like, you know, we weren't positively talked to. But most people are going to always tell you, you know, take the safe route. You know, grab the 9-to-5 job. You know, don't go out and do anything that's going to be strenuous, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, it's like walking with your head down and hope you don't run into somebody. That's not how I live. I believe in, well, you know, I love the Hulk and all these other things. I like aggressive things. But there's a difference between me and a lot of people I know is, lifting never gets shut off in me, believe me. There's no way it can because it's in my DNA. It's in my bones. It's everywhere. I say now, my brain now is made out of stone and I have a chisel and I chisel all these positive words of prosperity now in my head. People look at me and say, you're nuts. No, I'm not. Because there's a certain way to do things and I am doing things that I haven't shared with people. And it's via doing things like that. Because you're never going to get rid of everything negative that's been said to you or you've learned in your life. But you know what? There's a million ways to keep overriding these things where they don't pollute you or they don't hurt you in your life, okay? People are far too quick to just throw their hands up and say, well, that's life. That's the way it is. Well, it's not. And that's what I try to tell people. And I'll get right to you. And I think, well, I know, lifting, besides having great parents, is the best thing that ever happened to me. I don't know what I would have been doing. What is lifting has taught me things that I don't know anyone else could have taught me. And it's pushed me in all different directions. And here I am today with a talk show and FBC, the other company. It's because of the love of all that and the passion for that and the discipline for that and the willingness to just basically almost hang by a ledge to get to this point is going to carry over through everything you do, whether it's your lifting, your relationships, where you want to go with your livelihood. You know, like you're taking time off, you're with three other people training. You've basically roller coastered your training now to do this. And we know in the end, it's all going to work out for everyone. At least I hope, you know, and this lifting, this stuff, this physical culture we do and love, look at the way it blossoms out. I feel bad for people. I'll say to you, oh, you still lifting? Or why do you want to go lift stones? Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, if there's non-lifters listening, and I know there are, I think you ought to go out there and find somebody to teach you. I believe you will discover the best parts of you and the best parts of life out there. Go ahead, Charlie, because I could go on this point for the next hour, but I want to hear what you think. I mean, it's I think we're very blessed. I'll leave it at that, and it's all yours now.
Yeah, well, I mean, in terms of the lifting and everything, I mean, the weights, they're not going to, they're not going to sort of betray you or muck you about, or, you know, they're just there, they're just objects, but the pleasure, the hormonal changes in you, if you like, the good feelings and the frustration sometimes and everything, it's very rewarding and it provides a focus. But the weights aren't going to do anything out of the ordinary. It's entirely between you and them, and they are there to help you.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean.
I know totally.
They just wait. Yeah. You know, they're not going to pull a fast one or you know.
Or leave you the Dear John letter, I'm leaving. Like that.
So you can sort of quote Conan the Barbarian.
Yep.
You know, you can sort of trust in the steel.
Yeah.
Trust the thing.
Yep.
That can translate into the weight. They just wait, but what they can do for you and how they can change you and
yep.
how they can mentally change you as well as physically change you and just that reassurance that they're there and it's completely on you if you're not improving or something's happening. It's nothing to do with the weights. They're just there.
Yeah.
They're like you know they're. I hasten to say friends because that makes me seem a bit weird.
No, I don't think so at all because my buddy Richie used to always say, like you were saying, the iron never lies, you know, and that was kind of always like the running thing with us. It's like the iron never lies, and it's true. I mean, you either get the lift or you don't. Go ahead.
Yeah, but then I would say, though, I mean, but that's it transcends beyond lifting weights, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
To my mind, the weights is a great thing, but I think any hobby is a good thing or something anybody's enthusiastic in. And I think I've used this analogy before, that if you play a musical instrument, let's say a guitar or something, and you're learning chords and you're making tunes and you find the same stimulation from that's fine. It serves the same purpose. So you wouldn't sort of, you know, you wouldn't say to somebody, I can't believe you're still playing the piano or the guitar or, you know.
Yep.
I mean, but so why weights should be any different when it more or less provides a similar sort of an outlet or a focus and it's a positive thing, then it can only be construed as a good thing, really.
You know, Charlie, though, you know what I think it is? Weightlifting is a very interesting prospect, and a lot of people, it takes a certain amount of moxie, guts, tenacity to do this kind of stuff. And, you know, it's something that a lot of people don't even think about until, you know, they're told, well, you're 100 pounds overweight, or you're pre-diabetic, or, you know, you're this, that, and the other thing. And it's unfortunate a lot of people are forced, because of things like that, to get into physical culture. I mean, I know some people that live near me. They need to really do some serious stuff, okay? But you'll hear, they'll say to me, well, you know, there's this place up the street. I said, yeah, I'm familiar with it. I'm going to go up and see, you know, what they would charge and how many days a week. And I said, oh, that's great, you know. You'll see them again maybe a few weeks later. Hey, how did it work out? Well, I've decided I'm going to wait till the first of the year. Well, you're not going to get anywhere like that, you know. So I feel, especially with what we're doing with the show and everything, you know, I'd like to put the invitation out. Look, there's plenty of people here to contact. You're not alone here. But there's one thing I stress with anybody that comes here. You got to shoulder some responsibility. I mean, you know, there's too many of us that teach that have to put too much of ourselves into other people to motivate them. That's not what I'm about. I'll draw you up anything you want. We will analyze anything we're doing. We will not keep movements that are hurting you, et cetera, but you know what? It's time to strap on the big boy pants and let's get going. Because, you know, you and I both know. I mean, you know, talking with you, you're definitely a gent, but I'm sure you get twisted, you can turn into the Jekyll and Hyde, just like myself, because we put a lot of years into this stuff, and we don't look at it in a mocking way. And that is the kind of stuff, you want to piss me off, start that up. And this is my life. I'm not going to lie to anybody, I love it. I mean, I don't know what I'd ever do without it, and I never want to find out. But my whole contention with everything is, just like what you're doing as a teacher right now, we're all teachers with this stuff. You want them to perform. You are giving your time, your experience, and obviously you are behind these gents to get the job done and go hopefully in August or whenever you're going to go and celebrate four big victories. And that's what it's about. And when people don't do that, you know, that puts a little bit on you where I can get very frustrated quickly with people. And, I mean, I've asked some people to even leave here because this is an environment. And environments can become very polluted with negativity and toxic things. You know, people bringing in a lot of things here. When I walk out into that garage and that yard, I want that stuff to be not only aggressive out there, even though there's nobody out there. I've already laid the train tracks out there for it. I want not only be aggressive, I want the look of the place to inspire me. When I walk inside, man, and I'm grabbing those cold bars initially and setting them up in the power rack or doing my warm-ups outside and this, that, and the other thing, that's what I like. That's what propels me. That's what inspires me. And I don't want anybody coming here and upsetting it because I'm telling you right now, we all know energy is everywhere. I want that blistering, brutal energy because I was telling Charlie before he came on just some of the stuff I've been doing. And let me tell you, I'm doing it alone, all right? And like Charlie with his training alone, it takes a lot of guts to go out there and do that day in, day out, how many days a week you're doing it, month after month, year after year. I don't think people really understand that. There's more to it than just I'm going to go lift a weight or a rock. All right? Go ahead, Charlie. I went on too long.
No, it's fine. I mean, yeah, I mean, I was just thinking when you were saying about the discipline to go off on your own and people think, why would you do it?
Yeah.
Well, what's the point? You know, you're maybe not spending time with your family. You know,
yep.
There's other responsibilities and... Yes, it's it could be construed as perhaps being a bit selfish, even because it doesn't seem to be worth anything. But once you end up with a photograph of you with the Inva on your shoulder, or a photograph
right.
with you with a Denny's or a certificate or whatever it happens to be,
yep.
you've got that, you know, for the rest of your life, and it's on a wall somewhere. And you know, for those however many months it was that it took you to get to that stage, it was worth it because. You know, that those months will be forgotten about. But those pictures will always be there. And who knows, you know, the next generation, whether it's your kids or whoever it happens to be, will think, well, you know, that was that's what they'll remember, not the training.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? We're seeing it firsthand with Lawrence. Okay? Look at what he has been around since, and he's very young, obviously. But... You look at even the indirect stuff of all the people, whether he speaks to them, and I'm sure they speak with him, but the point on the energy that's been around that young man already, you know, few kids get that opportunity. I just think it's a great, great thing, an exciting thing to be part of. Nobody says, you know, I say this to people because, you know, this is where they got the wrong idea. Here's the deal. No one's telling you to go out and lift Denny Stones. No one's telling you to go out and lift a Husafell. But what I tell people is this. How about let's just go out and lift a sandbag? How about go out and be the best version of you? Is that fair enough? I think so. And not only that, stop comparing yourself to everybody. Who gives a shit? That's for like little girls in high school. All right? I know it's important and men still... want to be competitive with each other. But you know what? Charlie, myself, Martin, any of these guys, Bill Crawford, what do you think? You went and picked up a big stone the first week you started training? I mean, I'm going to have Charlie comment right now to everything. This is a lifetime. I want to make that plain to everybody. Do you understand that? None of us did this. None of us lifted a 400-pound stone in a week. This is a lifetime of building, of dreaming, and then dreaming bigger, and taking action, and discipline, and carrying the stuff out, and creating the best inner mental tenacity you can do. And keep improving every day on it. I'm telling you right now, you're only going to attract success by the person you become. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, you know, we say nobody was sort of born, you know, I mean, it's certain, it takes training and everything to lift the heavy stuff. And I mean, when I was born, I suppose I was 9 pounds and 9 ounces, which is, you know, it's a decent size, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, I got scarlet fever. So I was pretty sick.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was pretty thin. I mean, nobody really realized what I had at the time. But I mean, I think my father, when I was being bathed, you know, when I had this, and I must have just been like a toddler or something, or younger than that. I mean, I found out afterwards that my father he felt uncomfortable being in the bathroom with me if I was being bathed.
Yeah.
Because I looked so ill and skinny.
Yeah.
Just from what I'd got. I mean, I guess, I don't know if that ever had a bearing on it or whether or not it was a psychological thing, but I guess, that, you know, it's weird talking about it actually.
Yeah.
I've heard some people say that I was kind of lucky to get through it. It sounds bizarre.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe it's just, I'm not looking for sympathy or sob stories or anything like that. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
And if I can advise to say facts and somebody can identify with that or think, oh yeah, that's interesting, because I was in a similar thing, then, great, you know, but I'm really, really not looking for any sympathy at all. I'm just stating fact. And so with a combination of that, perhaps, and then maybe wanting to, you know, when I got bigger and stronger, and like we've got heavy metal bars, you know, around the farm, and if I try and lift one of those and I could see my father would be, maybe I was looking for his approval in a way, and sort of getting stronger and lifting heavy things, and I suddenly realized that I could get perhaps a bit of attention or a bit of approval.
Sure.
But by lifting something of some significance on the farm, which was, I don't know if it was a way of winning affection or not, but it kind of almost, I guess, made up for that very early. Maybe my father was just thrilled that I was developing the way I was, and I picked up on that somehow. So there was that aspect, obviously the farm, but I mean, but going back to, we've had this discussion with the introduction thing, about what influenced you, and perhaps, you know, in the 80s with the Schwarzenegger films and the Stallone films, and to my mind, being an impressionable young boy, I thought, well, you know, if I'm strong as them, you know, then obviously, you know, it's very superficial because it's Hollywood and obviously effects, but when you're young and you're impressionable, you don't really appreciate that. And I just thought, well, my life will be sorted because if I'm like these guys, if I'm as strong as them, then they can pretty much do whatever they like and they can look after themselves and protect themselves.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it for me was wanting to feel sort of safe in a way and wanting to feel like I could look after myself if I had to.
Yeah.
And so all these sort of influences and everything, they definitely contributed into the weight training and the wanting to sort of get bigger and stronger and which was kind of the impetus to get back to your original question, but wanting to kind of lift heavy stuff like the stones that you're talking about.
That
was all had a bearing on it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? With those movies, and I still watch them, it made you feel like you could do anything you wanted to. It made you feel like you could, that you belonged to something. You know, it was like I always talk about the Hulk comics, and to this day, I don't like the new Hulk. I like the one from 2008 with Ed Norton. But there was just something about it. I mean, we were talking, I think, the other day on a show where I was doing a singular. I was like, I can't tell you how many times I'd watch a Rocky movie and I have to go out in my yard and do something at 11 o'clock at night, right? But that's a positive thing. That's a big positive thing. And too many people now are told they can't do it. It's no good for you. We don't need to have phys ed. All this stuff. Yeah, you do. You need, look, nobody's pushing anybody to push people around, but you're always going to meet people in life that are going to be, you know, they use the word bullying way too much now, but you're always going to meet up with people that somebody's going to have a problem with something, or somebody's going to walk around like they're king shit and all that. That's just the way it is. But you know what? You know, like you were saying, Charlie, well, I can take care of myself. You know, They'd always make fun of these guys. Ah, they're just a bunch of meatheads. Well, I got news for you. Sylvester Stallone and Arnold are far from that. I mean, they've made fortunes. All right? And they didn't lose their money like you see a lot of these athletes everybody admires now. And whether they believed in it or whatever the whole thing was behind it, they changed a lot of young guys like us, man. It was a win-win all the time, as far as I'm concerned. I enjoyed all that stuff. I still watch all that still today. I tell people that. They're like, you still do? You can ask like any girls or my mom or anybody. If they come over to the house, they're in the house, and the Outlaw Josie Wales is on, Clint Eastwood, my favorite Clint Eastwood movie, they'll be like, you're not watching that again, are you? I said, yeah, haven't you seen it about 150 times? Yeah, this is 151 now. It's like, go away. You know what I mean? It's like, but that's the way it is. So, yes, I think that a lot of that stuff, and obviously you working on the farm, and it was very important. Look, I'm sure Lawrence is the same way. I was the same way with my pop. You want them to approve of you, man. You want to show them that you're strong, that, you know, maybe you don't know it directly, but, you know, you want your dad. We're just talking dads. I mean, I wanted my dad's approval. My dad was very hard on me. You know, you got to realize Jimmy was right after me. That was a big thing. And then, you know, I had another brother and a sister and another brother. So they were under a lot of shit all the time. But I always wanted my father to be proud of me. I mean, when you talk about stuff like that, I mean, it's like, my dad used to always say, never bring any shame to your name. You know, your name is going to carry you the rest of your life, among many things that he did. My dad's anniversary was just December 15th when we lost him. It seems like forever to me. And, you know, I went down the cemetery in the snowstorm and everything. I won't miss. I will not go, because I still feel my father with me, and he'll always be in me. And I still go down and talk to him and Jimmy out loud. I don't care who's there. I don't care. It's important to do that. It's important to honor people that gave me so much. I say all the time, Charlie, nothing would make me happier if John Ridge and my dad were sitting left to right on me. I said people would just love to talk to them, man. They were just men's men. They were good, good men, but boy, you know, you didn't cross their shit at all. So go ahead and take it. It's all part of us being men now, man, you know, growing and leaving stuff to people that are important to us. So take it away.
Yeah, there's sort of there does seem to be a sort of a trend, I think it's fair to say, where men are perhaps, I have to be really careful about this, but I think almost it's a culture of they feel inadequate.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's a certain pressure on them to behave in a certain way, which perhaps is not how men are wired necessarily.
Right.
And they're, I think, I don't know, this was the millennium. I think they're called the millennials.
Yeah, they're millennials. Yep.
Yeah, there's a sort of a assuming that men should be softer and behave quite differently, but which yeah, I'm all for people being decent and kind to each other. But you know, I think there's a fundamental difference in genetic makeup between men and women, and I think that if there's a move to perhaps feminize to an extent men, I don't think that's a particularly fair. I don't know how on earth I got onto this subject. I'm trying to think how this happened.
But you're right on the money, because men are very feminized now. It's been going on for a long time. And, you know, this is what I laugh about. It's like the majority of weightlifters I met in my life and will meet, the majority of them are some of not only the most gentle men, but they are some of the best people I've ever been around and associated with. And they think because you're large and built and you lift big things that not only are you not very smart, but you're, you know, just a lousy individual. You know, you don't treat people well. A lot of that's the furthest from the truth. And myself, you know, we've talked about this with Dr. Wong a lot and other people. That's why we're doing like that Manly Men's Movement page, because men got to really start, as my dad would say, take the bull by the horns. Who cares about finding your shit or whatever? Go out in 21 below and go lift. I mean it too. I mean, this nonsense. I got to find myself. What do you got to find out about yourself? And I know we're off the tangent, but it all circles around to this type of training you're involved in, what I do. You and I both know there's a time to be soft. I mean, you're with your wife and all that, but I got news for you. Most of the girls I date can't stand anything like that. They understand. They like the door held for them. They like to go out. But you know something? They also want a guy. All right? When he wraps his arms around, he doesn't feel like her skin wrapping around her. All right? Look, there's supposed to be a difference in us. We're not neutral like they're trying to push everywhere else. I'll tell you this. There's a store, and you probably heard it, and I won't give their name out. I'm not advertising for them, but they're all into the holistic, organic, you name it, and they're a big chain that just merged with Amazon. I'll give you that much. They had a thing on the door and said, here we are all gender neutral, and I'm trying not to read this thing and laugh out loud because it's hilarious. We don't call anybody by Miss, Mr., Mrs., we don't say he, she, or it. And I'm saying to myself, you got to be the most screwed up son of a bitches in the world, let me tell you. And I don't care if it offends anybody, because if you think logically about that, this is utterly impossible. All right? Maybe in the circles, some people travel and that works, but I like to address people by their name or Mr., Mrs., Miss, whatever. Okay? I think that's a form of respect. And with stuff we do, and I'm going to just speak for myself, is this. I love what I do on every facet. Do I want to be other places with different things? Yes, I do, and I will do it. But I think everything that we stand for the honor, for the valor, for the promises to one another, that be the day I'm going to say, I promise to work with you. You'd look at me like, what are you, an asshole? I would hope you'd hit me over the head with a stone and knock some sense in me. What I'm saying is, things don't run like this. How could Charlie train people as he's doing now for the Denny's with no identification with people? What are we going to do? Call the stone that? I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. So I think when we're talking about all this stuff, when we're talking on a subject, the one thing we all share that always snaps us back to the center is this is what we love to do, and we're going to keep doing it, and we're going to keep going after all these crazy goals everybody says. But most of all, I do believe we are men of integrity and stature. And I believe we are the ones that lead and will always lead. And if people don't like that, too damn bad. It's all yours, Charlie.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder. Yeah, obviously, be the leader, not a follower. That's one of the mantras, obviously.
Yep.
You know, which is, you know, that you have. Yeah, getting back to what we were saying before, I just wonder how much the the media just enjoys firing up the debate. Because most women that I've met, ladies, I've been brought up to hold open doors and be respectful, and there's never ever been an issue, and I think people have been appreciative of it.
Yep.
Whereas looking at the news and the media and chat shows and things,
yeah,
you would think that maybe it's in their interest to sort of pick a select, maybe some extreme feminists or what have you, and then that becomes the public understanding of what's going on in the world. It's not actually an accurate reflection because
nah.
It doesn't sell newspapers and the drama's not there.
Nope.
So maybe it's not really a big deal. I mean, I know that you know, Dr. Wong and yourself, and I think Kirsten, I seem to remember, talking about chemicals and things in water bottles and what have you, and the food and the fact that the seeds got uterus in it and things, so which is all, you know, a chemical thing. But I actually, when I'm thinking about it, I question whether this, you know, I think the media's probably got a lot to answer for portraying. For stirring up and aggravating the whole equality between men and women, I think, which is probably a different issue.
It is, but I'll tell you this. I do know this, and then we'll just finish off the show, is this. I ran into a lot of people over Christmas, ex-girlfriend, some of her friends, and I've talked to other people, girls that, you know, I've met through, like, going to the co-ops and stuff like that. And we got talking about this one day, and two of the girls there, which I won't say I was shocked, but you never know with people. They're just like, I wish this stuff would end. Because I know people have told me, other girls, it's like, what's going to happen now? Dating wise, is it going to be now, if you say someone looks nice, you're going to get terminated? This is what Steve Cotter and I were talking about with humanity the other day. Is that the point of everything? Is it to destroy humanity? I mean, and the more they keep people at one another's throats, we all know that nothing can ever change. They are the puppeteers, and, you know, people are on the strings. Well, that's not the way I am. That's not the way I was brought up, and that's not the way I've built myself, all right? So there is a lot of hope still out there. I mean, they're not going to win, I guarantee you. Eventually, the house of cards will crumble. But one last question, and then, you know, just summarize everything, give everything you want out, and just hang on and let me finish up, Charlie, is this. What is the plan now? The idea is we're going to train. Are you going with the idea of going to the gathering, or are you just going to measure these gents up and see when you're going to do whatever you want to do? What's the plan, the final one?
Well, certainly a sort of criteria for the gathering, okay. There's only been one gathering, as you know,
right.
has been that any previous lifters of the Dinnies will be invited to the gathering to sort of perform in public. Now, there are one or two little exceptions this year's gathering. Obviously, you know, it was very hard to get absolutely every single lifter of the Dinnies because they could be in the depths of Australia. It's just not practical for a lot of people.
Yep.
Or they couldn't do it. You know, they simply couldn't get around to it. So there might be one or two exceptions, but generally speaking, if you've lifted the Dinnies before, you get invited. So, yeah, I mean, unless they've changed the criteria, which I don't think they have.
Okay.
I'd be invited to lift again next year, and hopefully my co-conspirators will have lifted them by that stage, I'd like to think.
Okay.
And they'll be invited as well.
Okay.
That's the plan anyway, yeah.
Well, that's a good plan because the gathering, is that in August, I believe? Is that when it is?
I think it was.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah. So I was trying to remember, but I think that's how I got in touch with Ryan. So yeah. What else you got, brother? Anything else you want to add?
Just basically to thank you. I mean, if anybody's interested, obviously we sort of talked about it before. I have this little event thing that I run called the Ard Blair Stones, which seems to be quite popular.
Yeah.
And there's a Facebook page if anybody wants to check that out. And I have got a YouTube channel. I haven't put the most recent film footage up on the YouTube at the moment, but I will get around to it.
Okay.
So I have that. So yeah, there's a YouTube channel if anybody's interested, and a Facebook page.
Yeah. I'll have to go out and grab some of that video and put it out on Etched, because everybody always likes that.
Yeah, help yourself.
Yeah, okay.
You're more than welcome.
Okay.
So yeah, just basically, Eric, say thank you very much for having me back on the show. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely.
And, you never know which way the conversation's going to kind of go, and it went off in some interesting directions, I thought.
It's good.
Quite thought-provoking.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of it, Charlie. I mean, you know, weightlifting goes to many places, and we always take it and take it there, you know, whether you like it or not. Most people got it, they understand it, and they appreciate it, because you know, it's the facets of everything we do really has tentacles in so much of life. And that's why I try to tell people, if you've never done this beautiful thing called physical culture, you ought to damn well jump on the train right now, because, you know, it's something that you'll never find in anything else. I mean, I played a lot of sports, but as I said, when my hands touched that barbell, it was all over. It was just something magical about it. And if I can start with a leaky set of sand weights and a wooden bench and get to Iceland, anybody can do it. That's the way I look at it. So that's the thing. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Remember, we talk about you're all winners. You're all champions. You know, a winner never quits and a quitter never wins, as the great Frank Klein used to say to us in college, among many things. So always think about that. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Winners and Champions, Inc., that is the program that will change your life. And everything that's on there has been done or is still being done here at the FBC Steel and Stone Yard. So check that out. Also, contributions, $25, $50, and $100 on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. It goes right to my PayPal account. Anything you'd like to give to us, because I feel this show alone, I mean, we were all over, and it had one great thing after another. You're not going to find this out many places, believe me. So anything you give in advance, we definitely appreciate, especially 2018 is going to be our, well, it won't never be our biggest year, but it's going to be big, believe me. Everything's going to change the way I want to change it. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said, the show with Charlie will be up tomorrow, probably in the afternoon. Go out and just look at all the shows we've done. So we've got another one, and Charlie will be on plenty in 2018, obviously. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, sign up for our free newsletter, and get in on that, too. And don't forget, we've got a YouTube channel, Fiorello Barbell. Just type in Real Men, Real Strength, and you'll get to go out and look at our videos, too. And we will have more. It's just, there's so many things going on here. I got to have somebody film me, because I don't have the patience to run a camera and try to train, too. Something's going to get broken, and it'll most likely be the camera. So I don't like to dabble in that too much, other than if I'm not training, then I'll do stuff. So that's all going to come, too. Also, too, if there's a show you like Charlie and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. Don't forget iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten, and we appreciate that. AHA Directory, that's where you get Motivation Muscle in your car. It's called AHA. If someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or the gym, never be afraid to give them 5 words of inspiration, because, man, oh, man, that can change your life in an instant. My mom would always say when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, I could do anything with it. Lift it, press it, pull it, squat it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. The great Hoosa Steel Stone Crusher says in Blood Red Domination, we clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Well, 2018 is going to be even bigger and better, my friend. So you'll be back on, too, again, obviously. It's a very enjoyable thing, believe me, to let out that power like that. Also, too, Frank Klein, as I said before, my greatest business marketing professor in college. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my greatest chiropractor ever, would walk every patient to the door and say, keep smiling. Say that on your best or worst day, or just say it all the time. You'll have a grin on your face, bigger and bigger and a mile wide. John, my father, I mean, and Frank, I mean, Let me tell you, missed. I'll leave it at that. Very much missed in my life. Also, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming, because we're not going to kick your door and we'll blow the roof off of your house. Be part of the family. Join the revolution. I promise you 30 years of the best in programming you've ever been part of, and you are part of it, believe me. Also, too, Les Brown, you all have greatness in you, but we take it two steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back, and that is important. And one other thing before Charlie and I sign off, a couple things. You know, we talked about the cold and different things that come up and, you know, the put-downs and this and that. You know something? You know, grow the thickest skin you can and render those people just away. You know, maybe you need to get away from them. Maybe you need to not be in contact with them like that. Because you know what? People that care about you and love you encourage you to do the things you want to do. And I'll take it one step further, like myself. Like Charlie, I'd walk side by side with Charlie in battle any day. Why? Because I know Charlie wouldn't turn ass and run. All right? Think about that with everybody you know. Really, with 18, evaluate all of that stuff. Listen to yourself. I said in the show, listen to that voice inside. It's very important. And the only way you're going to get there is you're going to have to scrape off all the BS that's been put in your head or what you've put in. But we'll get into that in 18, believe me. And also, quitters never win and winners never quit. And that's Frank Klein, and I won't stop saying that. I want to thank, obviously, and I'm saying this on every show, Anthony DiTillo, John McKean, and Steve Jack. You'll never know how much I appreciate what you've done for me. Never. Charlie, what can I say? I'd walk with you into a line of fire and fire, okay? I want to thank you for being on, sir. It's always an honor. You're always appreciated here, and I hope you'll remember me to Lawrence. So thanks for being on, my friend.
Well, it's been my pleasure, Eric, and I'll certainly, Lawrence, I'm sure we'll be keen on listening to the podcast.
Okay.
So, yeah, again, thank you for having me on, and it's been a pleasure as always.
You're always welcome. So, for Charlie Oliphant, Eric Fiorello, this show will be up tomorrow afternoon, and have a great week, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.